What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Uplifter. My name is Drake Peterson alongside Micah Brown, and this is part two of our interview with Yasad and Kaleo from the band Pepper. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Hey, boys. So I have a fan question that comes from our exclusive Patreon page. And to all of our listeners, if you're interested in having one of your questions answered or want to get access to these full video interviews uncensored, go to patreon.com/iration. And this one comes from Tasha. And this is directly for both you two, Yasad and Kaleo. And she says, there are a few bands that credit you guys for influencing how they learn to navigate touring and touring life. What tips or tools would you lend to up-and-coming bands just starting out or established bands facing challenges to help them master this?
So, well, this is a hard one just due to the fact of where we find ourselves right now in 2020. For us, it was play anything and everything. And what I mean by that is, when we first got here, we didn't allow ourselves to get jobs like we did in Hawaii, all right, over 20 years ago. We said, if we don't play, we don't eat. And that was it. And so many days were spent fasting, actually. And so we were saying, all right, cool. So Yasad was always so proactive and still is. It's like, this is like something embedded within him. He's so proactive of picking up a reader. That's where we were in Carlsbad, is a San Diego reader. And he would go down and he would circle all the places to play. Now, it would be like, let's just say, Dream Street in Ocean Beach. and then right there, like Tuesday, Metal Tuesday, metal all night. Five bands, metal. And he would call them up. He's like, hi, yeah, this is Dream Street. Hi, I'm in a metal band. And we were wondering if we could come down on Tuesday, if you had any like a room on the bill. And then they would always say, well, I mean, you guys could open up very first. You get like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Like, yep, that's it. That's perfect. So then we would go down there and not play metal one iota. But however, we would do what we did. And that's pretty metal in its own. You know?
That's the definition of metal.
That's pretty metal in its own. You're going to play a metal night by just going, wah, wah, thunch, you know what I mean? Like that, yeah. They're like, okay, that's pretty metal. But also
smart, because I feel like metalheads love reggae. There's like some crossover where a lot of people that really enjoy metal love the
Pantera.
Reggae.
It's Pantera. It's the stoner. It's because Pantera was stoners. At least I think it was a catalyst of it. Or
breaking theory. Actually, here. We have a breaking
theory. I'm sorry.
Theory.
No. Black Sabbath, Sweet Leaf.
Okay.
Yep.
Not too much of the lick. We don't want to get...
Also, Led Zeppelin, Jamaica, right? Led Zeppelin right there. I mean, they were...
Dude, totally.
But also too, like if you ever like watch like any kind of like Clash, West Way to the World, perfect example. It's a documentary, Clash documentary, where they're like living in these abandoned World War II buildings and just squatting, basically. That's what they're doing. They're squatting because they get to live there for free and then they play whatever they can play. And they're always referring to all of the reggae that was coming out, especially because England had such a massive connection with Jamaica. And when we talk about reggae, it is 100% origin-based original music from the island of Jamaica. You know, and that's one thing too, like with this whole States reggae thing, like I really, in 2021, I'm going to be so pro-focused, so hyper-focused, better way, hyper-focused to make sure that, you know, all of the legends that we grew up listening to and mimicked what they were playing to become the American state reggae that we do now, that they are actually brought into the forefront. Because without that, we wouldn't have Stupid, Sublime, Pepper, Stick, Reb, you know, Iration. We wouldn't have these bands the way that people know them now. And to be able to bring that Jamaican community and actually have a really good like diversity coming into this. Because when reggae music's so popular, right? Everywhere around the world has its own version. You go to Costa Rica, you're going to hear a Costa Rican reggae band. You go to South Africa, you're going to hear a South African reggae band. Like anyway, if you go to Japan, you're gonna listen to 3.6 Milk. I mean, there is so many different types because...
Dry and Heavy. There's like a super bona fide dub band, Dry and Heavy, from Japan as well.
Exactly. Nice. And so anywhere that you go around the world, it is just, that's how potent this, like, you know, this music is. And and I'm so excited to be able to start working like for Law Records, especially where we're taking Law Records, is to amplify that and establish even more that respect and connection that we have with our island brothers in Jamaica. And
pioneers,
sisters,
for sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, what was the fan's name again? I'm sorry.
Tasha.
One thing, the guy with the beard has to leave you a little word of wisdom.
Yes.
I think for me, like the shocker when we first came over and whatnot was, first of all, you got to realize how hard it's going to be when you start out and start touring and start doing shows and stuff, because you get to those places where you're literally playing to nobody. Like first Warped Tour we ever did, we were playing to like zero people where we're watching huge crowds. And you just got to remember that all those shows, your character is just building so much and you're just, you're growing heavily. So just stick in there and just be stoked to be playing music. Cause it's definitely a road filled with like buckling down, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, let's just buckle down. We'll get through this, and we're gonna get to that next plateau or whatever.
You got to find those moments of stoke and really like let this carry you to the next one. You know, don't let your tank run dry for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the three of us and everyone, we just like even after we wrecked our van back in the day when we got into this crazy van accident before we moved into an RV. I mean, laughter. Was always our best medicine and is always our best medicine and always will be. Cause it's like, even when we wreck our van, we're laughing with the cops right afterwards. Cause we're so grateful that everyone was all right and
survived.
Didn't get hurt that. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, it's like you were saying earlier, MB, a smile, laughter, it goes not a long way. It goes forever.
Yeah. I mean, and I'll throw my little two cents in, just don't be an asshole. I was saying this on, I did the Stage Right podcast with our Tech McCone and Carlos, our monitor engineer, and that was kind of the theme of the episode. But you know, it's a simple thing, but when you're just starting out, the nicer you are to everybody and the easier you are to work with, more opportunities are going to come your way. And
no,
if you're kind of a prick, you know, you might fizzle out quicker just because people don't want to give you that call back, you know.
Yeah, you're just putting bad energy into the world and it doesn't equate to anything good.
And speaking of leaving a smile and an impression, on my show, the Drake and Jimmy Juice Show, we always ask our guests about tour pranks. And every single time, all roads lead to Pepper. Everyone always is like, well, yeah.
You guys have to be the kings of the tour prank.
Yeah, they put dildos on our... Yeah.
it always has like, to do with dildos.
Or Vaseline on Jody's drumsticks, right? That was one...
Or a bunch of gay strippers in San Francisco dancing to YMCA.
Yeah. Oh, those guys killed it. That was like high quality dancing, by the way.
We didn't chintz on the strippers, okay?
No.
But the Expendables gave us a hard run for our money on the I forget, that was like 2007 or so, the No Shame Tour. And
that's like Greek to me.
Yeah, and Slogan put the electrical tape all over the huge backdrop of the chick's legs, so it looked like she had hairy legs. And like a hairy.
No, my friend. It was the No Shame cover. They had all of the electric tape coming out of her panties. It was just a bear was trapped behind like an eye patch. It was like so massive.
It was good. It was what and we didn't see it until we got on stage and we wondered whatever. We're like, what is everyone? And we turned around, we're like, oh my God, Slogan, you're a genius.
Yeah.
But it was what, Cleo, it was what the Dirty Heads would have accomplished in 2014 in San Francisco if they wouldn't have tipped off our crew when they did the pooper.
Well, what happened was they it was a premature situation.
Yes.
They got it ready too early. And so what we did was we didn't even allow these strippers to get there. It was a co-headlining in 2014, Dirty Heads and Us. We were lucky enough to play first. Yeah. So we,
the film, San Francisco. Right,
exactly. Warfield, San Francisco. And we were able to play first that night. We were able to get the strippers, these beautiful, by the way, male strippers that just were in charge. And they get there 20 minutes before Dirty Head's show is over. We bring them downstairs. Everyone's busy. They're on stage doing shit. Techs are running around. Like, the tour manager's trying to like get the check so they can get out of there because it's the last day of the show. Like, everyone's busy. No one knows anything. So we take them downstairs and they get all primed up and ready. We're just talking to them, blah, blah, blah. And then they go for it. Dirty Heads was like doing like this EDM version of one of their tracks that they had just released. And so it couldn't ask for like more of a perfect situation. So here it comes, it's playing, they're on, they're saying goodbye. And then all of a sudden the music goes record scratch. And then you just hear, dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun. Holy shit.
And all of a sudden they're like, whoa, what happened to our remix? All of a sudden they're like, whoa, who are these five good looking strippers? Whoa, that guy has zero pants on and his butthole is winking at me. So it was like, yeah.
And it was Brett. That wasn't even a stripper.
But I actually believe you too. Yeah. But anyway, it's just one of those things where it's just like, a lot of people got to know too, like, you know, when we were playing after Sublime died, it wasn't like popular to play this. You know, we got here in 99. Yeah. We got here in 99 and everyone had already moved on to like, you know, they were starting to get into like Good Charlotte and Fall Out Boy,
emo,
and Panic at the Disco. Off. Like, this was like the new music scene. So for us, it was like, no, we don't want that beach reggae crap. And so it was just basically like a handful of bands doing whatever they could, playing everything they had, Metal Night on a Tuesday at Dream Street, playing anything that they could. And we're able to just, you know, continue to carry the flag, you know. We're Sublime, you know, Sublime, they were so influenced too by bands like The Clash that were mixing up that reggae and that punk sound. So this is a long lineage of this really, really, really cool style of mixing up different genres and stuff. And then luckily now here we are at 2020. And, you know, before they stopped having us play shows, or we could play shows, we were getting like a new reggae festival every week. It seemed like everywhere I turned, there was like Cannabis Orlando Festival. And, like all kinds, like it's just weird. It's like a Maple Syrup Chronic Festival, like, you know, in Vermont. Like, whatever there was, like, there's like a new festival every time of this like States reggae stuff. And so now we like see like, oh, okay, cool. Now like this is like a strong place for the genre.
Garlic and good vibes.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I'm excited to see though what we're going to be able to do after we are going to start playing shows. Here's a question for Drake and Micah. The thing that you have missed the most of live shows is blank.
I mean, I got to say just the energy transfer between fans and musicians, you know, like there's nothing that really replicates that. And you guys know, obviously, you have one of the most high energy shows, and it's always a privilege to watch you guys do your thing when we're on tour together, because it's like such a good example of what live music can be, the potential of like that transference of energy between the fans and the guys on stage. So I just don't think you can, you know, you can do these drive-in shows and it's kind of, you know, somewhat the same, but not really. You can do these Zoom virtual streams or whatever, but until we can just really get back to what the heart of live music is, I feel like that's going to be lacking, you know, unfortunately. So hopefully we can get all this behind us and get back to the ways of old and feeling that energy of people packed into a small venue or in a big outdoor venue, whatever, just like that vibe of the music and the energy going back and forth is something that you can't replicate any other way.
I definitely would. I definitely totally second that. And I also just miss all my friends and, you know, just, you know, waking up every day in a different city and just getting to play music. You know, it's, I really just miss playing music with people. It's so sad to not get to do that in a live aspect. You can't replicate it at all.
Totally.
I totally agree with you guys there too. In fact, me and Yasad are just, we have some audio that was just sent to us yesterday from a concert run that we did in 2011. It's when Pepper took their acoustic show on the road. We had Ronnie King, who's been working with us forever. We had a Dean Woodworm for the band Two Cents, going back to Metal Tuesday. We also have Tech Nine, who we found on the Warp Tour, and he was working for Good Charlotte. Wow, all these bands really just cut right. And so we had three additional musicians, and we did this thing top to bottom, all acoustic. And I went back and I listened to it because it's our homework right now. And we're gonna release it, but just hearing how the crowd is on these live recordings, because we took this beautiful like MTV Unplugged show on the road.
Yeah.
And to hear the crowd, like as soon as you start the record, you just hear this energy through this hum, that audio, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, it magically just threw me right back to 2011 going, whoa, I remember how I felt right before walking on stage listening to this. And I'm not going to lie. I kind of forgot. During these 8-9 months, whatever this is, I kind of forgot what that energy was until I listened to our show in 2011 and I started to hear it roaring and roaring and roaring and roaring. So by the time that we walked on stage, it is just so loud. And it really was kind of like a tearful moment of gratitude in that sense, just to know that feeling is still alive inside of me, even though it hasn't been awoken lately.
It'll just get rekindled eventually.
Back when we used to tour a bunch, we had our daily routines that we all followed. Each of us had different things we liked to accomplish on show days and days off. Some spent the day napping in the bunks, while others spent time outdoors getting some sun. But there was one component of our routines that we all had in common, and that was building our immune systems. When you're in a different city every single night, meeting new people every day and playing shows till the late hours of the night, you have to have a strong immune system to help it fight anything that comes in its way. Every day, our tour manager, Colin, would make sure that our pantry was stocked with healthy veggies, organic fruits, juices, and all those great things for smoothies. And every single day after our sound checks or in the mornings, we would make smoothies. All of those items would change based on the city we were in. But one thing that never changed was Malama mushrooms. We would always stock up with a ton of it before tour so we would never run out. Today's episode is brought to you by superfood mushroom company Malama Mushrooms of Hawaii. Superfood mushrooms have been used for millennia in traditional medicines, but are also seeing a surge of scientific research in modern medicine for supporting things like cognition, energy, immunity, and overall longevity. Utilizing these same mushrooms, Malama creates easy-to-use products that you can integrate into your everyday life. They've got mushroom cacao elixir powders, chocolates, coffee, powder extracts, tinctures, and what I like to use is the powder mix. It's a superfood mushroom powder mix with reishi, lion's mane, shaga, cordyceps, shiitake, maitake, tremella, and turkey tail. And I put it in my smoothie every single day. And when we were on tour, we would put this in our smoothies. And it would ensure peak performance on tour because we really needed it so we could give you guys all a really good show. So I have a code for you guys. And this is going to get you 20% off if you go onto their website. Our code is iration at malamamushrooms.com. If you're not sure how to spell it, it's M-A-L-A-M-A mushrooms, malamamushrooms.com. So if you want to protect, preserve, and nurture you and your family's body, go to malamamushrooms.com today, code iration for 20% off.
In 2011, that was the year you guys did Warped Tour Security, right? That was the whole theme of the Warped Tour. I was on that for a short run with Tomorrow's Bad Seeds. That was actually my first summer ever touring as I was a solo acoustic artist opening for Bad Seeds. Christian was like taking me under his wing, and then I went on to like a little van tour with Mike Pinto, And then Bad Seeds went on to Warped Tour. And so I wasn't opening for them, but I ended up coming back and meeting up with them after the little short run with Pinto on the East Coast. And I basically just joined Bad Seeds' crew. So I was like helping set up and just doing the whole crazy Warped Tour schedule every morning, like going and checking your set time and all that. And I remember catching a few of your sets that summer. I didn't really have the balls to come say hi to you guys yet, but because I was so green, but you guys were definitely bringing the energy that year for sure.
And Nijo was with us doing merch.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Totally.
Hi, Nijo.
Oh, that's so rad. By the way, I don't know if Nijo knows this, but a little birdie told me that you guys actually have a song about Nijo.
There's a sound, yeah, it's a sound check jam that there's a recording of it. So if you ask Joe King, he's got a copy of it. So
wait. I'm texting him right now.
And then we ended up doing, we did a version for Lenny too. So we have a Lenny song, we have a Nijo song, but yeah, it's pretty classic. It's like it's a sound check staple.
King of the back lounge.
Yeah.
The best thing about your guys' bus from the last tour was you guys always had MTV, was it like MTV Classic always playing? And you guys just have it on.
Oh, that yes. or Rammstein on YouTube. We're watching a lot of that stadium tour, some Rammstein. So we'd be like, jin, 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 jin. And then we get on stage,
du hast.
Yeah, but ye, in our mind, we were playing. Right. But no, that is true. And like, it goes back to what you said earlier. Ye, you said we are first and foremost fans. And so when we watch this stuff, it's like it's the same feeling, you know?
As
watching it at the first time you saw it. Like, totally. It's just so cool to know that music has such a massive flow to it that it can just hit every type of energy in some different way. And then there's so many different versions of that art form. So that's why it's like, I will always be a fan of this craft and this art forever.
It's magic.
Totally. And it's cool. It's cool when you're able to take all those influences and put them into your own music, and then the people love it so much. And I think you guys are definitely just one of those last bastions of the first wave of that reggae rock from, you know, that's been carrying us through to this time. And now it's such a big scene. So it's really cool that you guys are still doing your thing and hitting the road whenever we can. And it's always fun to be out there together. That's definitely the most fun I've ever had on tour was with you guys, between last summer on Live from Paradise and then Hawaiian Punch Tour. I know you guys did a few other Iration tours before I came along, but
yeah, those
Hawaiian are definitely
Punch
highlights
tour,
for me.
That was fun. The Hawaiian Punch Tour. That was short lived though. We only did what, like 3 weeks or something, or
it was a winter tour. So it was shorter. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was a fun one.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was really short. But then, fortunately, we can do a Hawaiian Punch too, right? So you can always. And to tell you that truth, that gratitude, Micah Brown, it will never ever subside within Pepper as well. Like every opportunity that we've been able to play music live, and with all the people that have been with us, whether you're opening, whether you're closing, it is the true fact that you get to do that, and that simple realization it's just gorgeous. Like, you get to do that. You get to have that kind of experience.
Yeah,
and then
mind blowing.
Yeah, it really is. That energy transfer that you were talking about, Micah.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to feel that again. I feel like that's definitely just, you know, I feel like my life's kind of on pause until it happens again. But, you know, like you say, we all have so much, we all have like other things that we're able to refocus on now, which is nice, but definitely I won't feel normal again until that's kind of part of my routine again. You know, it's missing.
And another cool thing is what Yasad has with starting his nonprofit Chipono.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. Well, I want to dive into that real quick, and then also something that I'm working with too, which is another nonprofit called Invisible Wave.
Let's hear about them.
Yeah, and so I'll wrap this up real quick. Invisible Wave is basically it's a nonprofit to bring awareness to those chronic diseases for those who kind of get passed by the medical institution by them being too young. I know it sounds weird, but from 18 to 35, there's like a situation where you walk into a doctor's office and a lot of without the right kind of communication, it's really hard to tell like the medical profession, like, hey, no, I'm really feeling this. It's not in my head. I'm not a hypochondriac. This is a real thing. And so just to be able to have a community and a space for the invisible wave, that's why they call it, is because a lot of people don't pay attention. They really pay attention to young kids like Rady's that Pepper does a lot of work with as well, Rady's Children's Hospital, or when you're older and, you know, they're more accepting that you may have something wrong. But there's like this gap, 18 to 35, that these people are really feeling ill but not really getting the right diagnosis. And so with this kind of time, I've been able to start working with Invisible Wave just for awareness of this, you know, of these chronic conditions that exist. And then Chipono happened, not that long ago, right, Yi?
Yeah, just about a year.
About
a year ago is when it first sprung off. But basically, Chipono Foundation is kind of just, it just inspiration off of how lucky we are, because I know that we're so fortunate to have this past, like Clay was talking, 22 and a half years leading up to where we are. But it started with just the fact that we were able to have this crazy idea and actually be like, yeah, let's do it. Let's move to the mainland and take a chance. And that's kind of what Chipono Foundation is kind of trying to inspire, is kids to dream big, first of all. And it's all based with kids in Hawaii right now, where we came from in Kona, working with the high school that we went to and graduated from, Kona Waena, with the music program there, and through the Youth Hawaii Surf Association. So it's kind of focused on helping out kids that are underprivileged in both. So I started with sponsoring some kids that their parents couldn't afford the membership fees for the surf contests. And then now with the Kona Waena, they didn't have any music or any funding for the music program. So we're getting the music program. One of the teachers moved from being a math teacher to start the music program. I just miraculously linked up with them and getting the music program up and going. And the eventual or overall dream is to get kids to have a crazy dream like we did and fucking follow that thing. You know what I mean? And not just be like, no, that's not possible. There's no way that I could do that, you know? So it's just a huge, like, gratitude of inspiration. And I want to pass it on because we're so lucky that we're able to jump on that wave ourselves, you know? More waves.
More waves, invisible waves, big waves.
Hey, Cleo, where do you, what's the website or whatever for Invisible Wave?
Just go to invisiblewave.com. And then .org. And then also look up the Instagram at Invisible Wave, and you'll be able to just tap in right all the way through.
I'll be putting all of these in the show notes, and Chipono is spelled Cheepono.org.
Yes.
And
yes,
so these will
yes,
all
sir.
Be in the show notes.
Nice.
And where can we find, if everyone wants to follow you guys individually, Kaleo, what is your Instagram for everyone?
I think it's at Kaleo Wassman, right? Yeah.
Perfect.
At Kaleo Wassman. Yep.
At Yassad Williams. We all have, we both have strange enough names that we get our real names on there.
Isn't that yeah.
Actually, and I guess Brett, he's not that strange, but he has his whole name without any underscores or anything either. One T. That's how that happened, I guess.
That's how you know you're an OG, you know? That's just...
That's how you know you're old.
No. Oh my God, you nice one, buddy. Also, too... I don't know when the last time Micah or Drake had any Pepper wine. Was that the last tour that we were on?
I still have a bottle of Shard in the fridge right now.
Oh, letting it age. Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, just make sure that Shard is like crisp and cold. I mean,
it's cold.
I hate Chardonnays. I absolutely hate all Chardonnays, except, of course, for the one that we do.
How creamy is it? It's just cream. So
check this out. It's like, this is how I would describe it. It's a semi-fat kiss that leaves you immediately. So it's crisp. It hangs out on the tongue just for the right amount of time. Not too much, not too little. Goldilocks, just right. And then the crispness and how it leaves is my favorite part. It just kind of evaporates subtly away from you. That's the hard part I have with most sharks, is they just want to hang out, stick around on the couch, and eat the goddamn bag of chips while you still don't have a clip for them, and they're the ones stealing it. So
you have to let it linger.
Yeah. And so, it is my, it's my favorite Chardonnay that we did. And also too, during this time, being able to be a social distance quite a bit, we've been able to go and pick the new grapes for the Pepper Red Blend 3. And we're definitely going to be entering this one again into the San Francisco Chronicle, where we are now 2-time gold medal champions, 1-time silver, 1-time bronze.
Boom, Kanani.
And what's, so let's go over the lineup though. It started with the Red Blend 1.
Yep. Which was a Petit Verdot and a Cabernet Sauvignon. But that one blew so fast off the shelf that we actually had to stop selling it. And hold on to the final 4 cases. That's all we have.
Right. Nice. And then next came the Rosé, or was it next, the Blend 2?
Yep. Next came the Red Blend 2, which was a Petit Verdot Cabernet Sauvignon, but this time we added a Cab Franc to it. And then we were able to do our Rosé, which was a Grenache Rosé. And that was just stunning and delicious as well. Then we moved on from there to, which is my favorite one currently until the Red Blend 3 comes out, which is the Malbec. And the Malbec, the difference here is, like the Chardonnay, but the only two in the pepper variety, like the Chardonnay, the grapes are from Clarksburg, which is just right outside of Sacramento. And and their growing practices are very, very sound. They're really, really, they're just so eco-minded. So these are actually 2 certified green wines, the Malbec and the Chardonnay, which it's just chilling in Micah's fridge right now. If anyone wants a taste, go to his house in Santa Ana.
On my way.
Yep. And then what we have too coming out is our Red Blend 3. And this is going to be our best wine. It's going to be a Tannat and a Petit Verdot. And I'm so excited. We had the tasting about 2 weeks ago, trying to figure out what the percentage was going to be. This worked out. It worked out beautifully. And also, Rebel and Muse, gentlemen, is coming out with a sparkling rosé.
I saw that. I got super excited.
Yeah. Yes. True.
Okay. Yeah. And the,
finish about that.
So the sparkling rosé is probably going to be available. I'd probably say like February, March, just when the weather's starting to warm up. And the Red Blend 3 should be available for February. So, to cure those hangovers that the holidays bring.
You can get that at thewineboss.net. Is that the best place to send everybody?
Yes, sir.
I was going to say, Cleo, did you get the In with the Cab in there?
Oh, I did not. Thank you. The In with the Cab, which is, of course, a play on our
Cannot
In with
forget
the Old.
That.
Yeah. And that cab is, it's a bit peppery.
I knew
I'd get a little chuckle from Mike on that. No, that cab is like really, really important to have, like a nice, like, well, I mean, how about this? If you're not vegan, like a rare lamb. And if you are a vegan, a portobello that has been like basted in olive oil and balsamic vinegar and salt and pepper and then grilled. It is fantastic paired with these kind of things. Okay,
Oh, it's amazing. my mouth just started watering. I was going to say that another thing we got to say about the Wine Boss is how amazing the bottles and the bottles are, like works of art, because obviously Ben Bruff, shout out to Ben Bruff, our artist. We've translated his art onto bottle. Or the Wine Boss has, Tommy and the boys have so well. And it's just, these bottles are so beautiful and so amazing.
Drake will make sure that you get to see these bottles.
You have my address, Kaleo, now, so you can make sure we swing by with some new Red Blend 3.
You got it. Is that an invitation? I'll take it up.
Yes. So, Yassat, have you ever, have you ever tasted any? I know you don't drink, but have you tasted these and like spat them out?
No, I just take Kaleo's word for it? No, I just have my chick taste them and she explains it to me. But I smell them all, and it honestly, it's all good. And the funniest thing, the way life works, I literally quit drinking, I think, right as we started doing the wine. So, but honestly though, like just with the smelling it and I still enjoy, like I have the same, enjoyment of, you know, like Kaleo, when we were waiters back before the band, like we had such a, good vocabulary, a good appreciation, just a good grasp on wine that I still get that same fulfillment through my relationship with it and being able to be so involved with it even without drinking it. So yeah,
that makes perfect sense, Yi, because when I'm out like picking, when I'm actually picking grapes and we're doing it, I get that same feeling. It feels incredible just to be able to like have that connection almost in any way. That's because wine is just, it's so important to us as far as it being its own living and breathing entity. And then when you uncork it, then it has a chance to come alive in that moment. It's almost kind of like, it's almost like finding like a frozen person in ice and then letting them defrost and then boom, they're alive again. It's just they came back to life now instead of 3,500 years later or something.
Full Encino Man.
Yes, exactly. Encino.
And I see Pauly Shore. He must live nearby me because I see him all the time in my neighborhood.
No way. Hey, there's a really good on Showtime. There's a really good documentary about the Comedy Store. It's epic. There's my recommendation for the show.
Boom. All right. Good to know.
Boys, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for coming on The Uplifter. We've got all of your show, all your different links, all the different things you guys were talking about in our show notes.
Everyone? It's probably going to be like a short story with all everything we've talked about.
Yeah.
Like paragraphs full of links.
There's a lot to cover, man.
Highlighted with Modest Mouse and Alice in Chains.
Oh, my gosh. Actually, you know what? Drake, please put the YouTube MTV Alice in Chains unplugged because that is seriously one of the sickest unplugs ever.
You got it. I'm adding this right now.
And one more thing. We pay our debts on time.
Well, there you go. That makes two people so far. No, I'm just
kidding. Oh my god, I love
that. Thank you guys so much. I cried laughing during that. That was amazing.
Yeah, that was really nice to see you guys in any capacity, you know. And I can't wait to have that energetic feel again with all you guys.
Seriously,
samezies. Miss you guys. Good to
miss
see you
guys too.
Much love.
Give the boys our love too when you talk to them.
Thanks for listening to the Uplifter Podcast. This show is produced by Christopher McCone and Resident Media Group. If you really love this show, please give it a like and subscribe on all podcast platforms and shoot us a review. It really, really, really helps us out. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
here in the moment, it is all I've got. We're riding on a feeling, but the feeling don't stop. Find your peace of mind when the mind runs clear. All I really know is what I'm doing right here. A new day is upon us, feel the rising sun. Have a little faith, put me in your trust. The words of the prophets here written on the wall. A new day is falling.
Got me feeling nice. Good days, good nights. I'm just out here living my life. I'm only worried about right here, right now. Talking my